Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, this morning we've been reminded in song that your love awakens us. It's stronger. It's greater because you are the God of wonders. You're beyond our galaxy. You've hung every star in its place. And you are holy. And when we see that, Lord, it makes us ask, who are we? Lord, we're tossed by the ocean. We're vapors in the wind. And it's not because of who we are. It's not because of what we've done. It's because of what you've done, and it's because of who you are. And this morning, Lord, we want to say we are yours. And I pray that now as we say that, as we put that possession in your hands, I pray, Lord, that that would be the cry of our heart and that surrender, that we are yours. Because you are the God of wonders. Your love awakens us. And God, I pray that this time now as we open your word, we would let you have your way with us. And that we would be challenged, inspired, moved by your Spirit. Teach us, grow us. And Lord, help us to love you more right now. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed this morning for Kids Connect. This morning, if you would, take your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As we prepare tonight to take some time to serve our community, as we have been making preparations, as we've been gathering all sorts of candy, glue, contact solution, baking soda, as we've been doing all of that and wondering why in the world do we do this, I wanted to look at a passage this morning as just a reminder. Sometimes it's good to be reminded in the moment of why we serve. Why we serve. Why go beyond just a single gathering in the week and just gathering, getting our message and then going home and then wait until next week to come get our message and then go back home. Why do we do more? Why do we go above and beyond? Why do we try to reach our community? And I want us to look here mainly, just look at this first verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:8. We're going to look at really a few verses in this, but I want you just to see the meat of this in chapter 2, verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. The Apostle Paul is writing here in chapter 2 kind of an apology and a defense of his ministry. During that time, there were several false teachers, false ministers, a lot of counterfeits that were going around that were, preaching and ministering and doing so for their benefit and for their glory and for their profit. We don't see any of that today, do we? And Paul was giving kind of the qualifications. He's giving a little bit of an overview of his ministry to the Thessalonians because he's wanting to build them up of understanding this is why this happened. The church at Thessalonica grew up real quick. It started real quick. Within 3 weeks, you had an exciting time that this church was growing. So much so, it was turning Thessalonica upside down, and they were coming after Paul, and they had to sneak Paul out of the city. Because all this was going on, and he says, I want you to understand why this was all happening. And here in these verses, we see kind of a reason of why we serve. Why are we tired in ministry work? Why are we going above and beyond? Why do we do these things? And this morning, I don't want to belabor a point. I want you to see and be inspired and be challenged and just understand that there is an excitement to what we do even today. Why we serve. I want you to see three things real quick here in this passage. And the first thing is, I want you to see we serve. Why we serve is to please God. To please God. So go back at the beginning of chapter 2. In verse 1. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or in any attempt to deceive, but just as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. So Paul, as he's beginning, as he's describing this, he starts off there in verse 1. You know yourselves. This knowledge there in the word know is an experiential knowledge. It's not just an academic knowledge. He is using a word that describes the fact that you have experienced this. You know this. You yourselves know, brothers. This is very apparent to you that our coming to you was not in vain. When we serve, sometimes we feel like we're serving in vain, don't we? You ever had some of those Charlie Brown moments? Oh, it's just not going to work this time. Maybe we've got friends like, is it Lucy that sets the football up and then is always moving it just as he wants to kick it? When we are serving the Lord, we are not serving in vain. Because we are serving to please God, not man. And that takes away the reaction from man to being the success in our results. God ties success to faithfulness, not to numbers. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the numbers can be attractive. And we want numbers and we want all these things and we want to please man. But let me tell you something. Ministry, worship, all of this is not about pleasing man. And our theology should direct our worship. And that is that we want to please God with what we do in ministry. That it's God that we are trying to please. And Paul says, we didn't come to you in vain. Because, and then notice that verse 4, if we have been approved by God. He said, listen, it's not even by man's approval that we are here. We aren't looking for some certificate from man. We are not looking for some fame from man. It's not man that has put us here. It is not man that has called us here. When man calls, that will lead to exhaustion and burnout, and it will lead to them dropping away. But if it is a calling from God, and if we are approved by God, that's when you see the time and try it again. All the time, going through all the hardships, those that continue in ministry. Because it is God who has approved. We serve because we want to please God. Not only is He the one that approves, but notice that next phrase. We've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. This is why we want to please God. We have been entrusted with the gospel. We've been entrusted with something of so much value that it is a world changer. It's a game changer. It's life transformation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul says we've been entrusted by God with this. The word entrusted here is also the same word that's used in different times with different tenses to bring about faith. The idea of faith. And when it's used in this tense and in this way, it's used in a way to entrust somebody, to put it in trust with somebody's care. So think about that for a second. of all the things that God could have used to get his gospel out, that could do it in probably a whole lot better job than I can, a whole lot better job than you can or anyone else, he could have used angels. He told people, hey, if you don't praise me, the rocks could cry out. I tell you, if the rocks started speaking and telling the gospel, it might be pretty important, right? He could have wrote it in the clouds. He could have done all manners of different things to get the gospel out. But no, we see here, we have been entrusted with the gospel. You say, that's a lot of pressure. No, it's not. You know why? Because the gospel is about his work. We've been entrusted with the greatest gift this world has ever seen. Because it says it's not about what I've done. It's not about who I am. The gospel is all about him and what he's done. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is necessary to pay for your sins so that you might have an eternity in heaven. And because of that, we've been entrusted with this incredible gift. So we serve because we want to please God who's approved us and who's entrusted us with this incredible gift. The second thing I want you to see is we serve to do hard things. See, I don't like this one. I don't like doing hard things. But yes, you do. And let me tell you why. Because nothing of value is always just easy to us. The things in life that we work for, the things in life that we expend energy towards, the things in life that are hard, that take time, that take energy, are hard things. You know the hard times in your life, the ups and downs, and when you have come through them, you look back and realize how God has worked through it, and it's those hard times that have shaped you. Hard times speak to the value of the thing that is worked for. We serve to do hard things. I'm reminded of the speech that JFK gave in Houston, and speaking of going to the moon, he said, "We go to the moon not because it's easy, but because it's hard." To do hard things. When we look at this passage, notice what Paul said. Look at verse 2. "But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict." So he says, we were already being shamefully treated. We've already suffered. We suffered at Philippi, and we went through all that hardships. Sometimes it takes us one little hardship, and then we can go down. But Paul said, there's the suffering. There's the hardships that I've been through at Philippi, so much so that I said, hey, let's do this again. It's kind of like needles. I don't like doing it the first time. You better not have to do it again. If you're going to stick me and get an IV going in me, you better get it right the first time. I don't like doing hard things over and over again. Paul said, you know, we were shamefully treated. We had all this conflict. We've already suffered. And so much so that we came to you in the midst of much conflict. And not only that, we had boldness. We were empowered. We had boldness in the midst of this conflict to do these hard things. And I tell you, it's like when you get your adrenaline going in the midst of a fight or a flight, and your adrenaline's going and you are knowing that you got to get going. You imagine all that he is going through, all the suffering, all the conflict, the back and forth. Then you can imagine that he's ready. You would think that he'd want to hit it head on with an equal and opposite force, that he just wants to come in as an authoritarian and just say, this is how it's going to be. I've been suffering for you. You better do this. But no, in the midst of much conflict, notice how he served. He said in verse 6, "Nor do we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others. Though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ," we could have been authoritarian, but notice in verse 7, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. In the midst of all this suffering, in the midst of all this upheaval, this conflict, this back and forth, he comes in and he says, you know what? We were gentle. We came with the message of God. We serve to do the hard things because we have a message that is of that kind of value. We do the hard things. And that leads us to number three, to show the gospel's worth it. To show that the gospel is worth it. Because through all that, we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. That's where verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. The gospel's worth it. You were affectionately desirous of you. The gospel says people are worth sharing the gospel to. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. That the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The gospel is worth it because people need to hear it. They need to hear what Jesus can do. We need to be affectionately desirous of people so that we are ready to serve, to share this entrusted message of the gospel. And notice how he says they're ready to share with you not only the gospel, but also our own selves. Sometimes it takes our blood, sweat, and tears to go along with it. It takes some of our energy to go along with it so that we can share the gospel through our life. You've heard the saying, no one cares what you know until they know how much you care. You say, how in the world is all these goofy little games going to make a gospel impact? Because we want to show a community we care. To provide something free. To make an impact in what we free. I tell you how many times that we told them last night, free pizza, that made an impact on some. And each year we try to add a little bit more. We try to do a little something else and to grow this opportunity, because we want the community to see that we care, that through this, maybe tonight, you get to have a chance to answer that question for somebody. Why do y'all do all this? Let me tell you. Because Jesus Christ died. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose again victorious, and he did it to pay the price for my sins. And because of that grace, I have an opportunity to love and share it with others. And maybe that happens tonight out here. Maybe it doesn't, but maybe a family sees that, you know what? This place cares. They start coming, and maybe it's next year that we have an opportunity to lead one of their kids to the Lord. Whatever it might be, we serve to show that the gospel is worth it. The gospel's actor is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has done the work. Jesus Christ has loved us, and he has initiated that reconciliation through his redemption, that blood of the Lamb for us. And the direct object of the gospel is us. He did it for you. One of the most powerful aspects of prepositions is it direct language. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It directs it to us. The great work of the gospel is directed to us. That is why we serve. To please God. To please the one that has entrusted us, who's approved us. To please God by doing hard things because the gospel's worth it. In summer of 1999 was a real impactful summer for me. I had surrendered to ministry just a couple summers earlier. And in the summer of 99, I had just graduated high school. And I was getting ready to go off to school in upstate New York for my first year of college in a Bible college there. And there were a couple different events that the Lord used in my life to really cement why we serve, why He called me into ministry. Early in the summer, my brother, who was my youth pastor and worked with my dad there at the church, and he would do and run a youth camp for some other churches. It was called Camp Joy. And he asked me to come to work with him. He had me do all the grunt work, really. He had me help run the games and run the program and get the kids involved and active. And he would use me at different points and in different things throughout the week. And on one of the nights was a heavy salvation message. And this camp, I mean, it is a kind of a family camp. You had kids all the way through teens that were there at this camp during this week. And I'll never forget that night. Because as he gave the invitation, he asked those that had raised their hand wanting to know Christ to step outside. And we had counselors there to take him with them. And I remember this little boy. His name was Jeffrey. He came walking forward. He had black hair and there was a buzz cut. He came walking down the aisle, you know, with his head down. And he came, and I grabbed him and said, "Jeff, come on, let's step out here and let's talk." And we sat down on the concrete sidewalk on the outside of the chapel that ran down the length of the chapel. I said, "Jeffrey, why'd you come forward tonight?" He said, "I know I need to give my life to Jesus." And I walked him through some scriptures, walked him through some verses in Romans. And right there, on that concrete, sitting crisscross applesauce, Jeffrey Moody prayed and accepted Christ as his Savior. And I had a chance to be a part of it. A small part, God does it. But to be there, to listen to him at the moment that the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to him. At the moment that the Holy Spirit was baptizing him, was coming into his life, was indwelling him. At the moment that his life went from death to life everlasting. I got to be there for that. And I remember walking away saying, I never want to not be doing that. The gospel is why we serve. Later on that summer, we went to a couple different camps in our youth group. And the second camp we went to was a camp that we performed and we did different competitions. It was called Teens Involved. And one of the big things in our youth group was quizzing. And I told you how that has factored in my life and memorizing scripture. But at camp that week, I mean, I was the graduating senior. I was the last one. I wasn't really a small guy. I don't know if you can tell. But back then, I was at least in football shape. Better shape. And so I was the biggest guy in the cabin. And we had in our cabin, we had our church group and we had another church group. And in our church group, we had some kids that were coming from some pretty rough backgrounds. And God was working on them. One of them, his name was Whit Johns. And Witt was one of those rough cases. He didn't look necessarily like all the clean-cut kids. And there in our cabin during the night, you know, I'm the oldest, and I hated all the little shenanigans. We'd come in the cabin, and I'd go to my bunk, and I'd lay down, and I didn't care what they wouldn't mess with me for some reason. And so I just laid in my bunk. But the guys from the other church would start these different little games. And so they took Witt and said, Witt, we want to show you this game. It's called the Impossible Sit-Up. And they took him to the middle of the cabin and sat him down. And Witt's just gullible. He just wanted to be accepted. He wanted to be liked. He wanted to be a part of the group. He was at the end of junior high at this point. And so they did this impossible sit-up, which is, it's basically a prank. It's a crude prank that makes them sit up into a very compromising position. And they just laughed and had a big time. And oh, for the life of me, I wish I would have turned around and done something about it. Because I went off to school. And I remember as I was in school, my brother would call me and he said, listen, man, I got to tell you what Witt's doing. He's trying to take your spot on the quiz team. He's memorizing all these verses. He's growing like crazy. He's bringing friends to church. And he would tell me this, and it was exciting to hear about that. And I mean, that quiz team that they continued on, they were doing really good. They were winning. And man, Witt was just growing. And then later in that year, I called home. I was talking to my brother, and he said, I got to tell you something. He said, after school the other day, Witt had a friend that needed a ride home. Took him home, and then he was on his way to his house, and a drunk driver swerved into his lane, hit him head on, and it killed him. And I just remember, that's why we serve. It's because the last time that I have a meaningful memory of Witt was that situation where I wish I had done something. But I know that the gospel changed his life. So even something that seemed to be so tragic is a victory in Jesus today. Because of it. And that is why we serve. Because there's so many this morning that need to be entrusted, that need to come to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it changes lives. And you know what? We get to have a little bit of fun while we do it. That's why we serve. Fall Festival, VBS, Youth Camp, Life Point Teacher, Kids Church Worker, Coffee Maker, whatever it may be, we serve to show that the gospel is worth it, to do those hard things, and to please the one who loved us. Shall we stand this morning? There, with just your head bowed and your eyes closed, this morning I first want to ask, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Has there ever been that time in your life where you responded to that gospel, to that change, to that transformation that takes you from death to life? Because this morning we want to give you that opportunity. When we begin to sing, we're just going to be right down front. We would love to show you how the gospel can change your life this morning, so that you can know for sure that Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sins. And this morning, if you know that gospel, if you know that, I pray that you're encouraged that this is why we serve. It's because the gospel's worth it. And however God might be working in your life, I can't tell you exactly what the Spirit might be saying to you right now, but all I can say is whatever God is doing in your heart, in your life this morning, respond to Him. Let Him work. Say, I am yours. Just a moment, we're going to sing. The altar is going to be open. I'm going to be down front. Brother Andrew's down front. And if you need to respond this morning, let us not let the time go by without responding to Him. Our Father, thank You for loving us, for taking us by the hand, for entrusting us with such a great message. Help us, Lord, to serve with it this morning. Work now in this time as You see fit. May You have freedom through Your Spirit. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.